Welcome back to another episode of what we call the Reformation Podcast. This podcast is supported by the ministry of Bismarck Community Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. We call it that because what we're trying to do is reclaim sort of a vision for the worldview of the Reformation, the era that came way before consumerism, way before the individualism of the West, and people in the church were seeking to be a part of something larger than themselves. This is why we called our podcast Reformation Worldviews, because our goal is to think like the Reformers. That doesn't mean to be real smart and academic. That just means to think in the way people thought a long time ago. I think there's some benefit and some value to getting away from the modern individualism and consumerism of the West. And in this series, we have been talking about community. This is the fourth episode in the community series and the final episode that we recorded in one session. We sat down and we just talked about community. And we got to a point where we were talking about the suffering that comes with community, where we hurt for others, we hurt sometimes because of others. And yet, at the same time, the beauty, the magic, the mystery of how good and right and beautiful things can be in community when community is lived out for the sake of Christ and for His name, when we gather a group of people who are committed to the gospel. The community that arises from that is redemptive. We suffer from the effects of the fall. We suffer because we live in a world that's not the way it's supposed to be. But something about the church community aims our hearts forward to the hope that we have in the coming of Christ, when all brokenness will finally cease and things will be beautiful the way they are supposed to be, the way they were made to be, the way we hope that they will be. So I hope you'll enjoy listening to this final part of our conversation, and I hope it will inspire you to want to be a part of a community that is about more than you and is about something larger than any one of us. My hope for this episode is that people will know that community is deeply painful and deeply beautiful.
Right. So I think that when we are willing to take on the pain and suffer along with people who are among us that are suffering, that's what community is really about. We're helping each other to believe what the gospel, you know, like why are we here? What's the purpose of this, so that we can help each other believe that there is more to this, that we're headed for something far better. And I mean, it hurts along the way, but it's worth it.
So you're obviously hurting, remembering a very fresh wound, and every bit of it was worth it.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I can say that it, you know, walking with Terry through that to the end was the most painful thing I've ever experienced, the most tragic, the most, and you've experienced that with your mom. I had never experienced that, but it's the most tragic thing I've ever seen, and yet it was the most beautiful. There was so much beauty wrapped up in that. And had, you know, she not plugged into the community and us, the two of us, plugged into each other, you know, in community, I wouldn't have reaped those benefits. And, you know, it shaped me and is continuing to shape me.
In good and beautiful ways.
Yeah.
I can attest to that.
And it hurts. So that's the thing. I mean, you know, when when Terry and I continued to invest in each other, I knew that one day she would no longer be here. Mm-hmm. We both knew that. Mm-hmm. Of course, we hoped that God would heal her, and we prayed for that, but ultimately I knew that I was taking a risk, but it's the best risk I've ever taken. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you say that, and when I think of some of my own struggles with the pain of community, it's often because my hesitation a lot of times with community isn't so much bandwidth and time and energy as much as it is I have been wounded by community. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, small groups, churches, I mean, and I suppose we all have, but my response to it often is, well, I've got my books. And so when people come and they're like, hey, let's get into community, I'm like, no, you'll hurt me. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's sort of my pushback, because community hurts. I mean, I know probably one of the things I've seen in ministry and people's difficulties with the church broadly is they've been hurt by a church. Mm-hmm. I mean, churches are painful places. Mm-hmm. I know that. And so, yeah, I don't know. You guys have any stories or anything you want to add to that?
I think about the small group we were a part of in Denver, which was such an, yeah, it was such an awesome small group to be a part of. And it's such a, you know, being in grad school, we knew, you know, we're in kind of a transient stage of life. We're probably only going to be here maybe 2 or 3 years. We had always kind of in the back of our head that we might be coming back to Bismarck. And so, and it's tough to get connected when you feel like, well, I'm going to, you know, be heading out the door in a couple of years. It's hard to know if you should really invest or not, or yeah. But we decided to be a part of a small group at the church that we were attending, and we went, and the first experience was a total disaster for me.
For the small group.
Yeah, yeah, in the small group. There was, yeah, one guy in our small group was just making these comments that to me were just so, I was so offended. Oh my goodness, I was so offended by the things he was saying. I went home and I just sobbed about it. I just could not believe he was saying these things so flippantly. And I was like, that was a terrible fit. I never want to go back to that yeah. group. What awful people, you know, yeah. And no one else, you know, no one, you know, said anything to him. And I was embarrassed because I felt like I should have said something and I didn't when he was saying, and everyone seemed to just go along with him. Like, I can't be with that group of people, you know. And, but then we decided, you know what, I do need to go back. And even if it's just to say that this is the reason why, you know, I didn't want to be a part of the group, at least to just be honest that I was really, like, you know, hurt and upset by the things that this person was saying. And if things got better from there, great. But if not, then at least I felt like I was, people can't apologize for things if they don't know that they've hurt you. And I think that can be tough to sometimes tell somebody, hey, you really hurt me or upset me. But I felt like I owed them at least that. And so we went back and I shared what was so upsetting for me. And everybody was just, they were shocked, first of all, because the particular things he was saying hit me in a way that didn't hit most other people. Wasn't as big of a deal to them. But for me, it was felt very personal. And so they were just shocked, and half of them didn't even remember, you know, the comments that he made, like, oh my goodness, like, I, you know, I had no idea. And they were very apologetic, you know, for that too. And, you know, were, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. That wasn't the response I was necessarily, you know, expecting. And that was the beginning of our small group experience, mm-hmm. yeah. But we kept going back and
when you shared that, like that hard thing. The easiest thing to have done would have been just like, we're not going back.
Never showing up again.
But we went back. So I remember you had the conversation with the, because there was couples. So, you know, the girls were hanging out. So she had the, and I had to have the conversation with the men of the group. And I was just like, and for me, having a difficult conversation like that, like bringing it up, it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But then I did it, and we all experienced that uncomfortableness together. Mm-hmm. And that experience, it was something in that we lived through together, the prickling.
Yeah.
We lived through that together. And I'm banging the table, sorry. But we lived through that together. And then over the next 2 years, there was something about that cultivated a place for community. Mm-hmm. And I even think, like, I've seen it in so many churches, like, there's just groups of people that they will stick with their community. And I'm like, why? These people hurt you, or it's something, or there's something going on. But oftentimes, like, I can look back even in those groups' community or story, and you see these experiences, almost like traumatic experiences, or like somebody got hurt or something, and the community came around and they lived through that together. And so even if on this Sunday somebody frustrated them, they're sticking with the community, because when they were at their most vulnerable or suffering point, the community worked together with them through that hard thing. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, but then if you have somebody that just comes into the community because they're popping in for this year and they haven't lived through those hard experiences, and then their needs aren't getting met, then when their needs aren't getting met and they, you know, they just, it's easier to leave because they haven't gone through anything with the community that they're a part of, you know? So it's something to do with, like, when, you know,
yeah, those conflict. Difficult times.
Yeah,
need to go through conflict. You can't have intimacy without conflict.
Yeah, without crucial conversations, without, like that was a difficult conversation for us to have with the group. And part of me is like, wanted to dismiss it, being like, oh, it wasn't a big deal, but it was a huge deal. And it would have been even a bummer if we continued going and not saying anything,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have had the type of intimacy that developed if you hadn't.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Yeah, I just think, you know, almost all of us, there's a rare few, but we prefer to avoid conflict like the plague because it's uncomfortable. And yet that's the only way most of the time to get to this deeper level of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, the conflict shouldn't be glorified, but the navigating it. It's when you resolve the conflict, when you reconcile, that takes you to a different place than, you know, than if the conflict hadn't happened. Sometimes conflict is from without, something really bad happening to a person or the whole group from the outside, and sometimes, you know, and many times it's from within. But you have to face the conflict and go through it together, and it's when that reconciliation happens, that's what takes you into that deeper level of intimacy and community that people crave. But again, you have to go through the hard process in order to get, you know, to that, you know, those things that we all want.
Yeah, I can't help but think. I mean, there are times that I've either avoided that conflict or entered into it. But the issue, I mean, sometimes it's me. And I'm not trying to say I'm perfect because I know I'm not. But I can think of some specific times trying to enter into that. Imagine you'd gone to that small group and said what you said, and they were like, excuse me, you just need to leave.
Yeah.
You know, which is totally possible, could have happened, but I've had that happen to me.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't say that. They just turned around and walked away. I never saw them again, you know. And so that's difficult. So how do we, what would you say to that person who, not, I'm not talking about avoiding it, like that temptation that I feel, like, well, maybe I just won't address that, but rather, who's going to do that? Who's going to be like, I'm out. You brought something uncomfortable to me. I'm going to turn around, walk away from you, and we will never speak of this again. What would you say to that person? You know what I mean?
The one who chooses to disengage.
The one who chooses to disengage. Yep.
I would just say, I did what I could do. And
what to them, I know, I mean, like, they're listening right now.
Don't be that person.
Why not?
Because we need community and disengaging, like, you miss out, but we miss out, and we need to go through the hardship together. But that's easy to say, because the easiest thing is to disengage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'd think, yeah, if you're the person that turns around and walks away after someone has brought an issue to you, yeah, we need to take a look at, I don't know, just like relationship skills. you have to be able to engage that. Hang in there. You know, it's uncomfortable. It forces you to look at yourself and search your heart to see, you know, did I do something with intent? Was it by accident? You know, did I accidentally, you know, harm this person? And even if it was an accident, you know, shouldn't that still matter to me that that person is hurt, even if that wasn't my intent? Because I need to value that person more than my own pride, yeah, or more than my own, you know, than being right. Mm-hmm. It's not about being right. It's about relationships, I think. And there's also room to disagree and still be in relationships. That can be done. Mm-hmm. That's tough to do, and it seems like, oh, if I don't agree with this person, you know, I can't be in relationship with them. Yeah. We don't agree on these key issues or these key values, and therefore, that's it. You're completely written off. We've got nothing in common, I've decided, based on that single issue, and we're done being in relationship. Mm-hmm. And I know, yeah, even among us, there are some, you know, some key, you know, even theological things that we don't all necessarily agree on. And there's been some conflict, and we've gone through that together. And I think we have really great relationships still. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn things about each other through that process. Being able to, yeah, and still respect each other a lot and really love and care for each other. And we can disagree on things, too. Mm-hmm. You can do both, mm-hmm, but it requires living in some tension. And a lot of times we just would prefer to not engage with anybody that we don't agree with,
mm-hmm,
you know, and then we miss out big time when we do that.
You miss out,
and
on
so
the
do the other people.
You miss out on like the fullness of community, because it's easier to be like us versus them,
right?
Like, you know, and to get into those camps, or like, I even think of like, you know, people sometimes will have a hard time being at a church because if the pastor believes or does this one certain thing, they're like, well, I either have to fully align with him or her or not, you know? And so it's just like, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like the political views, you know, I can't go to a church if I don't agree with the, you know, or, you know, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my first thought is, I think when it comes to community, and let's say somebody has something hard to say or something, an issue or whatnot, I think our first response really is, like, for me, is to fight, to defend myself, or to flee, or to run. Like, it's a fight or flight,
mm-hmm,
you know? Never is it to just to sit and hear, you know?
Right.
And so,
right.
Yeah, if you've been hurt by the community or the church in the past, the easiest thing to do is to just run away from it.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And what are some of the benefits? So you say you miss out on things. What are we missing out on by disengaging or refusing to enter into the conflict? The conflict is there, right? What's on the other side? I mean, we've talked about that, I know, for several episodes, but let's come back to that. Lyra, did you have a thought there? I'm sorry.
No, I was just,
okay.
I don't think so.
All right. Just interrupt me.
Okay.
Just because we're on the air doesn't mean anything's being any different. You can always cut me off.
Are you saying I interrupt you all the time?
Only when I need it. Only when you should, because I tend to...
We never interrupt. No,
I would say that an occupational hazard of preaching is you just talk too much. But, yeah, I want to, unless, I see Lyra looking at her book, so if she has something she wants to add, I want to give her a chance, but I just want to think, okay, so I avoid community because there's tension, because there's conflict, because there's vulnerability. Is it really worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the things that we miss out on then are our intimacy, our, you know, that piece of really of being known and being loved. Because there is so much freedom in having people around you that really know you. They know you to your depths, and the good and the bad, and they still love you and accept you, and not in the sense of, okay, well, don't change anything or try to grow or improve it all, but yeah, like we accept where we're at right now, and you know, we'll travel with you like on that road, you know, if there's things that need to be to be improved upon, but there's not a condemnation there for knowing those, you know, the shadow side of ourselves, the side we prefer other people to really not know. I think we miss out on that. We miss out on growth. We miss out on just this whole aspect of journey. And I just feel like God is so big on that, of the journey, you know? Like, why does he continue to let humanity just keep going and going and having these lives? And I think he just loves the growth. He loves the journey, the process of sanctification, you know? I think that... that is something that I think is so beautiful, is just that, yeah, that whole process, the depth and the love, and the intimacy that can be had in relationships and really knowing people and sticking with them, in the good times and the bad times. And I think it's wonderful, obviously, yeah, during the times of all of the suffering when we can be there for each other, because that brings comfort and love. There's also times of such great joy in community, and I feel like that gets so amplified when we have both, like when we've gone through the suffering, that we can really rejoice with each other because, you know, we've also been on the other side.
We've wept.
Yeah. And the joy that can be found there, the true joy, not just, you know, happiness or laughing and having good times, but real, like, joy when amazing things happen. That can only come from community, and that can be scary and challenging and messy sometimes.
My biggest fear is being rejected, or one of them is being rejected. And I mean, one of the things, like, it took me, you know, being when we got married, you know, Chantel and I, like, It was hard for me at first to trust our community that we had, like, our covenant, our relationship, you know, because my biggest fear is Chantel could wake up tomorrow morning and be like, I'm out, I'm done, and I would even share that fear with her, you know, and she could tell me, you know, Jim, I'm not going anywhere, you know, and it took me probably and I still wake up sometimes being like, Chantel, you could cut and run at any time you want. And as we've gone longer in our marriage and our relationship, she knows me more. She knows I feel like I can put on the facade of perfect, you know, like, people, if they knew me, they wouldn't want to be around me. And as I've, like, gone further in my relationship with Chantel, in our marriage, like, she knows me more, and I can be more vulnerable, and she reminds me that she's not leaving me, and I'm like, but you could. But she's always like, but I'm not going to. And so there's something for me when it comes to community, like it is everything I've needed, yet it's also been very hard too sometimes to trust that somebody could love me when they really know me, you know? And then in our small group, you know, like it's, we've been meeting for over a year, our church, like our smaller K group, and it just, it's taking time, you know? But when, if I start open, like I'm, there's still that fear. I could be rejected, you know? I have the fear working as a pastor, like, if people really knew me, would they want me to be their pastor? You know? Yeah. And there's just like those fears of rejection, and it permeates everything, and it keeps us from the community that we need, you know? And that's me, but, you know?
And the more, you know, if you think of being known and loved as a two lines meeting a point, right? The closer you get to that point, the more you're willing. The more loved you feel, the more you're willing to be known. And basically what's happening, I mean, you know, Jesus is shaping us by the gospel in those moments. And you can only have that by being willing to enter in.
Yeah.
I was thinking, this is not related to what you were just saying, but what you were saying, Chantel, about the joy and the sorrow, that the joy is so much more when there's, when you've been through the sorrows. And I actually have a, I mean, I keep bringing Terry up, but I have to say this because I just have this beautiful picture in my head of the week she, the week before, well, let's, I'm trying to think, what, when was Cohen born?
The 11th of September.
Yep. Okay, so I went to visit Terry when she was in on her deathbed, and I showed her pictures of Cohen, and we just rejoiced together over this new baby, you know, that has come into the world. And I just think that's such a picture of, you know, the joy of that felt even greater to me at that point, because I was in such sorrow losing my friend. And yet there's this new baby and so many new babies coming into the church as Terry was leaving, you know. And I just think that's such a beautiful picture of what it's supposed to be, you know, the community that we're supposed to have.
Yeah, I remember that too, because I remember Terry commenting when, you know, we made it. We put the picture out like, Cohen is born, and Terry, you know, she wrote a comment just rejoicing that. And of all the comments, I loved all the comments, but you know, like that one was very meaningful because you, we are in a space where there is an extreme suffering, like, you know, you know, like Terry, like she was, you know, and then at the same time, an extreme joy, like it, and it's coupled together. And it's like,
and
that's
that she
the
was
tension.
Able to rejoice. You know, I mean, there are many in her situation who wouldn't have been able to rejoice, but she was able to because she knows this isn't the end. You know,
but and, but all of that was happening in the community together in that
strange.
Tension.
It was very strange.
And that's life. That's real. Like, if there was only suffering or there's only joy, like. Like, the community is where stuff happens, you know? Everything, you know?
I think in the brokenness and the broken world that we tend to live in, we sometimes, we want to avoid the sorrow. We want to avoid the pain. We want to avoid the tragedy. And in so doing, we try to experience the joy, but we don't get it. Because we've numbed ourselves, we've blinded ourselves, whatever it is. But I think authentic community, the way God is calling us to be, the way we get to, we yes, we experience the depths of sorrow when we enter into genuine community, because we're going to love people who are going to leave us. We are going to be wounded by other porcupines, but in that, we also get to experience some of the highest of highs that we were made for. What it means to be fully alive, we get to experience that in that as well.
And in those joys, we're recognizing that all good gifts come from God. That we're reminding each other of that. Thank you, God. He just gave us this, you know.
Like, even, like, even just this breath right now, like, it's helping, like, us all see, like, I'm breathing. It's by God's grace that I'm breathing. I'm not guaranteed the rest of today. I'm not guaranteed next week or my next 50 years. But it's just like, when you're in community, you get to you get to be thankful for what we have right in this moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we get to point people, us, you know, into seeing those moments that are meaningful.
Yeah, it really does seem like, you know, like what you were saying, Jared, when you sign up for community, you're signing up for, you know, joy and sorrow or neither. Those are your options. You can either have sorrow and joy, or you can really have neither.
Mm.
And sometimes having neither feels like the easy choice right now, but boy, are you missing out on just the fullness of life then, if that's what you choose. But yeah, you don't get one without the other, I don't think. You can't just sign up for joy.
Awesome. On that note, I think it's a great place to stop. Thank you, Chantel, for adding that. Again, thanks to Jim and Chantel. Thank you guys for being here on this, and to especially my beautiful wife, Lyra. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, it is.
I appreciate you all a lot, and I'm thankful that I have you in my community. And even when Jim knocks on my office door when I'm reading a book, I am still thankful that I have you in my community, because you helped me experience all of that.
Well, thank you for listening to our series on community. I hope it has been encouraging to you. One of my pet peeves as a pastor is when people say of this church where I minister, your church. They call it Jared's church. And I always correct that. And I say it's not. It's our church together. This is, of course, ultimately it's Christ's church. It belongs to Him. But we are all participants of it. Not one of us gets to be a consumer or a customer. That's not the way the church works. We are called to be participants in the church. And I hope wherever you are, whatever city you're in, or whatever church you're in, that you will seek authentic community, that you'll risk, that you will be willing to enter into the pain so that you might taste the beauty, the magic, the glory that Christ has to offer to you. Everything that we experience now, while yes, is tainted by the fall and is filled with heartache, is also pointing us toward glory and toward hope and toward majesty.